welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended or to be construed as legal advice. We hope that you enjoy the program.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this podcast and our continuing series about diversity and inclusion at work. This has certainly always been an important topic in workplaces today. But with the events of the last several weeks, including the death, protest, and rioting, it's highlighted how important diversity and inclusion is in the workplace. I'd like to introduce our speakers for our podcast today. Kimia Johnson, chair of our firm's Diversity and Inclusion Practice Group, who helps companies both structurally through diversity and inclusion plans, as well as through training and other types of aspects, including legal advice, to help companies with diversity inclusion in the workplace. Also, we have joining us Luther Wright, who's also part of the firm's Diversity and Inclusion Practice Group, and specifically focuses his practice in terms of not only litigation, but also learning solutions and training for various employers on diversity and inclusion, as well as other topics. Welcome, Kimia and Luther.
Thank you, Shafika. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Shafika. Always good to talk to you about important topics.
Well, let me start with just some context, Kimia and Luther. You know, it really is a tumultuous time in our nation right now, in our families, in our communities, and certainly even across the world, as we've seen what's been going on in the past couple of weeks. And I think particularly relevant here, it's also been a tumultuous time in workplaces. And these are discussions that are really happening in workplaces with regards to current events. There's been, I think, logistical issues that have popped up in terms of decisions to close early, employees that are participating in protest, and as far as inclusion and support of employees that have been emotionally impacted by all of these events, particularly employees of color. So, Kimia, maybe I'll start with you. There is a lot going on. How should employers respond?
Absolutely. The most recent events are certainly posing challenges for organizations of frankly, all size and industry. But we know that the underlying issues that we are confronting in the workplace right now, whether it relates to race, justice, advocacy, and even protest, these issues are not new. And they are not unique in the sense that, you know, we of course know as a country, we have been wrestling with these difficult conversations around race and racism and justice and equality for hundreds of years. And employers have been wrestling with managing these conversations, particularly around race and at least race discrimination for decades, you know, at least since inception of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So we've had decades in the workplace of at least having to think about race, at least race discrimination. And of course, Black people, we are keenly aware of the realities and the challenges that are in America that we have faced. These issues are not new, especially for those of us who have lived them. But employers and organizations, of course, are now presented with a new opportunity, I would say, to respond and to respond with authenticity and to respond with action. So how should employers respond? I would say they need to develop an organizational action plan. And as I see this action plan developing, I would say there are four things that employers should be doing, thinking about as they move forward. The first part of this action plan is you've got to think about how and what to communicate to your employees and to your workforce. Who are you? What do you stand for or against? And I know that Luther will probably speak more to this in a moment. But if you, as an employer, as a company, if you have a D&I initiative or program, if you have a value statement about respect or inclusion or belonging, if you have a website that touts diversity and inclusion as a value, if you have received awards in the diversity and inclusion space, well, now more than ever, your employees are now looking to see if what you have claimed is real, Is it true? Or if it is only lip service? So we want to know if a company's efforts around diversity and inclusion are authentic. And in order to start to communicate that right now, you really need to have a plan for communication to your employees. The second thing that I would encourage employers to do is communicate beyond their employees and workforce, but to communicate to the public or their customer base or the communities where they operate. So we do see a lot of company statements that are being prepared right now. They're being posted on social media. Of course, the workforce wants to know what you stand for, and so does the larger community. So I would only caution that in thinking about communication to the public and the community at large, that the employer must really make sure that they're only making these public statements if they mean it, and if they can tie specific actions that they have taken around diversity and inclusion, or even race or justice, or the Black community, for example. They should only be making these statements if they mean it and they're able to tie their meaning and their values to specific action. For example, making a statement of what you stand for to the public at large is much more impactful if you're able to outline what you're going to do, such as donating to a foundation or some sort of organization in the community that is aligned with your values could be very helpful. The third step in the action plan, Shafika, that I would highlight is employers should really see this opportunity for individual and team learning and growth, right? So beyond communication, whether inside the organization or outside the organization, we have a new opportunity for employees, leaders, managers, or even team learning on these issues that are being raised right now, whether it's unconscious bias, whether it's systemic or institutional racism, whether it's concepts around institutional privilege or being an ally, or even generational differences and perspectives. We're seeing all of these issues playing out very keenly in our organizations right now, and now might be an opportunity to highlight what those issues are, but get some very specific resourcing and training around them. Resources can be made available, such as, you know, maybe expert speakers can be brought in to speak directly to these issues, book lists, articles, podcasts of note, even movies or documentaries, toolkits that might be circulating. But there are a range of resources that are coming to the forefront right now that can provide an opportunity for increased learning. And employers should think about maybe even thinking about how their learning and development, if they have one, but their professional development department might need to be resourced or further resourced to ensure that these opportunities are being made available. And the fourth and last thing that I might say around what specifically employers could do, I would say it is a good time to revisit the strategic D&I plan of action, if you have one, and if you don't have one, to start to create one. So what specifically is going to be done around training or around communication or around the specific efforts that the company is making internally or even externally? What is going to be done? When is it going to be done? Who is going to do it? What resources will be needed? What are the measures of progress? What specific actions are we going to be taking? Are we going to be revisiting or building out a diverse recruiting or partnerships or creating pipeline programs? Are we going to be revisiting the composition of our executive leadership or our board? Are we going to be creating new supplier or vendor diversity programs? Are we going to be investing particularly with employee skill development, leadership, or mentoring programs that might especially be able to help impact our diverse employees who may be seeking them the most? What specific actions are we going to be taking as an organization is really, I think, where we are right now, Shafika. We are definitely trying to make sure that we have action plans and organizational systems that are set up to support the values that we are communicating.
Well, thanks, Kimya. That's a lot of very helpful information when it comes to how employers can respond. I guess turning to you, Luther, as Kimia said, discussing issues of race, racism, and racial discrimination is certainly not new, but it still is something that many folks struggle with. What approach or recommendations about communications on this topic, and specifically in the workplace, can you offer to us all?
Shafika, I definitely agree that this discussion is not new, and that many organizations are struggling with how to have productive conversations about race and racism, some for the first time, while others are seeking to have perhaps a more meaningful conversation. For those struggling with communications in this area, I have a few thoughts that I typically share that revolve around the concepts that I've shared in many presentations on this subject: our preparation, our message crafting, and finally, how we deliver those messages. I've always advised our clients to make sure that they are well prepared for these conversations and communications. We all need to be well versed on the national and local implications of what's occurring, including a sense of the specific impact that these issues are having on our organizations and on our employees. We should also review past issues in our organizations that might be racially related and have not been fully resolved. And finally, we have to be prepared to address any recent complaints of racial bias, harassment, or discrimination, or complaints about how the organization has handled those types of issues in the past. So our past track records are relevant to the current conversations. So we have to be prepared to address our organization's history, both good and bad, and answer difficult questions about it. So next, particularly in this area of discussing race and racism, our message crafting is key. Now is definitely the time to have appropriate community-facing and employee-facing communications. Press releases rejecting injustice and committing to do better are good and necessary, but we also need internal communications that clearly set out our organizational position, our goals, and if possible, specific action steps or plans about confronting these issues in a meaningful way. We should include input and acknowledge the input of our human resources personnel, our affinity groups, and diversity and inclusion personnel and committees, if we have those in our organizations. Additionally, I'd say the best crafted internal messages acknowledge and speak to the pain, frustration, and anguish caused by recent events, and include organizational and or community resources and support mechanisms available to our employees. We are also well advised to consider third-party resources to help us craft meaningful messages in this area. In sum, this is an instance where you want to make sure that your message is right and hits all the right notes. Finally, we need to consider how the message is delivered. CEOs, vice presidents, other leaders within the organization need to be seen right now, and they need to remain present. I strongly advise video statements from organizational leaders, if at all possible, as they create the space for and invite a real dialogue about these issues. Emails and statements are great, but sincere video messages or even audio messages are better. I've seen some very powerful recorded messages that have been both reassuring and incredibly well received by the employees. And note that it can be something recorded with an iPhone. It doesn't have to be a fancy studio production. And it should be something that all employees have easy access to. Also, remember that feedback from your employees is a key part of the delivery process. And it has to be if we want to really create a real and meaningful dialogue. So emails and inquiries from employees should be responded to as soon as possible, with an emphasis on soon. Employees need a forum to speak out and react in respectful ways. And we should encourage this honest, respectful dialogue. Town hall style meetings, small group or team virtual meetings are good, as are Q&A sessions, where you give employees an opportunity to dialogue with and ask questions of their leaders. We should also preview statements with other leaders in the organization, our stakeholders, and our constituents especially those of different cultures or races, to make sure that the message resonates across racial and cultural lines. And make sure you both listen to the feedback and get buy-in before rolling the message out. Kimmy and Shafika, I just helped an organization craft what I think will be a very powerful video featuring all of its key leaders. All of the leaders played a role in crafting the message, and all will play a role in the delivery. And this is what I would ideally advise if you can do it. Two other quick thoughts about delivery. First, we have to avoid comparing property damage to death and conflating rioting and looting with peaceful protests. Making this distinction is critical because if we don't make that distinction, we'll diminish the message greatly. Finally, don't vilify those with opposing or differing viewpoints, regardless of who they are. Instead, advise everyone to listen to each other while laying out clear behavioral expectations about how employees should interact and how they will be treated going forward. Remember that no race is monolithic and that there can be huge differences between employee viewpoints, including the viewpoints of those who belong to the same race.
Luther and Kimia, these are both really great pieces of advice when we look at responses and communication. But who should do this? Who leads the charge when it comes to what you both have described for employers?
That's a critical issue. And I always say leaders should lead. We expect the tone and the tenor to be set by the leaders. And specifically when we're talking about those who are most likely to ensure there is action behind the communication, we really do have to focus on the leaders. The leaders must lead. But of course, the leaders, regardless of race or ethnicity, should be in communication with BRG leaders, Black employees, or other employee groups who are most impacted by the most recent events surrounding death and protests and the unrest that we're seeing right now. This is not the time for only BRG leaders, Black employees, or others most impacted to single-handedly be expected to devise your company's response. These are, of course, groups of individuals who are highly stressed, and they should not be given solely the task of crafting the company's response or plan of action. But of course, these are folks that should very much be consulted with and included in what that response may be, but they can't do it alone.
Shafika, I wholeheartedly agree with what Kimia just said. And just like her, I always say that leaders should lead. And I would add to what Kimia said is simply this. This is not the time to abdicate your leadership role because the issues are complex or uncomfortable. Our organizational approach in this area has to be the same as the approach we take when we confront other challenges in our organizations. So in my experience, when we're confronted with an issue, we usually research the issue and educate ourselves about it and all of our potential options. Then we build a plan that works best for our organization, and we get buy-in from those who will play a role in its execution. Then we execute the plan, making any necessary tweaks along the way, and we hold people accountable for doing their part. So we need the right resources and right organizational talent allocated toward this effort, which means our leaders and employees at all levels have to participate and be committed to it. Addressing and overcoming difficult issues requires all of us, and that is particularly true in this instance.
Really helpful, Kimia and Luther, and thank you both so much. I think that we've all really seen that we are in a difficult time in our country's history, and many say a critical time. The organizations that will do well in this difficult time are those that seek to learn from the situations now, and more than that, seek to make their organizations better and stronger by working together, as you both have advised. To that end, please know that Ogletree Deacons does have a diversity and inclusion practice group that Kimya heads, and of course, Luther is a member. That group has prepared many materials, including a toolkit if anyone is interested in it. You can find more information on it on the Ogletree Deacons website. And of course, we will be continuing this series, Diversity and Inclusion at Work. Thank you all for listening today.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended or to be construed as legal advice.